agree or disagree.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Marina Joshi, and with my guest today, we are discussing the situation in the Middle East and the role of Iran in helping to stop Islamic militants. My guests today are Victor Nadine-Rievsky, who is a senior research fellow at the Institute of World Economy and International Relations, and Dr. Nader Intisar, who is professor and chair of the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice at the University of South Alabama. Well, before we went on a break, we looked at the consequences of the U.S. airstrike in Syria. Now, Nader, the question I'd like to ask you here, what about the Arab states that support the U.S. in its recent airstrikes in Syria? Shouldn't they be worried about the repercussions?
But I think those states that you mentioned, I think, ought to be worried significantly because this groups like the Islamic State are extremely mobile. Cut a hand, so to speak, in one place, and then you'll see two hands emerging from another state, and they could easily expand their operations to neighboring states, to Jordan specifically, and to some extent, you know, other countries in the region. Joining of this coalition on the part of the Arab state is more out of fear rather than commitment to a very clear strategy. These countries also have their own separate goals, but we will see. We will see how this military operation will eventually evolve.
Yeah, well, speaking of goals, why should Iran be interested in helping the West stop the Islamic State militants? Victor, what do you think?
Well, as for Iran, of course, it has some specific interest in this occasion. It is quite dangerous for the surrounding states and, first of all, for those who are the allies of Iran, for different Shia peoples just living in the region. This is really a problem for Iran, and of course, Iran is ready to help them. Besides, Iran understands who was creating a guild. They know quite well what was the help of Qatar and Saudis to a guild, how they created it, who was training them, and so on and so forth. Iran understands this problem quite well because they have very good information from different sides of the Arab world, of this region. And they understand that the enemies of Iran itself are the same ones as those who fight in the ranks and files of Islamic State. For example, they have Jundallah, that is formally forbidden and that is formally called a terrorist organization, but it really received help from the United States. That was reality, but not commentaries from American side. And these people were, of course, against Sunni, again, anti-Iranian, and so on. Well, you see, that's why Iran understands its place here. That's first. Secondly, the Islamic State is quite dangerous for the ruling group of Syria. And Syria is at least one of the last allies of Iran in the region. That's why Iran is ready to help them, and Iran will do anything just to do away with the so-called Islamic State.
Nader, do you agree with what Victor just said, and to what extent do you agree or disagree with this point of view?
Yes, I agree completely what my colleague just said. Essentially, Iran has a very broad understanding of different dimensions of this threat, the agendas of the neighboring states, and the Saudi, particularly Saudi Arabia, has an agenda to ultimately, degrade Iran. And Iran recognizes the threat that Saudis present to the long-term strategic interests of Iran. And this issue of the whole Syrian crisis from the very beginning was a regional crisis. It was a Saudi crisis in a lot of respects to try to undermine and eventually, as they call it, to stem the tide of Shiism in the region. And so it's the whole thing, the whole idea of fighting Islamic State and creating Islamic State and then changing, making a 180-degree turn, trying to pretend to be the enemy of the Islamic State. All of these things are well understood by Iran, that this is a strategic game that Saudi Arabia and its allies are playing in the region in order to achieve their ultimate goal, which is undermining Iran as a regional country.
Well, some analysts say that Iran, too, is sending mixed messages to the West and at home. In your opinion, how closer ties with the West will be seen in Iran, Nader? What do you think?
I mean, it depends on what Iran gets out of the closer ties. If it's a rhetorical, you know, a pat in the back and without any concrete evidence of improvements, the only way Western signals to Iran can help those who want closer relationship, for example, with the West is for the West to deliver beyond rhetorical issues and deliver in all kinds of places. I'm not just talking about the sanctions relief. I'm talking about in all other areas. One day we hear, for example, Secretary Kerry talking about Iran being a crucial player in stemming the tide of Islamic State. The next day we hear Secretary Kerry coming and saying that Iran's role is not going to be helpful in any kind of coalition. So these mixed signals are certainly confusing to all parties, but certainly are not going to help.
There are talks going on behind closed doors, and the foreign ministers will be talking about the Iranian nuclear issue as well, and we'll find out later what came out of those meetings. But the question here is, of course, I mean, as you said, we hear different messages, different signals, and again, the language of diplomacy has to be interpreted. It's not always straightforward. The question here is, can Iran really help, or is it just using the situation? Or will it be using its nuclear program as a bargaining chip here? What do you think?
Yes, it certainly can help. Mm-hmm. But in order for Iran to help, it has to have something tangible for it. It's not going to simply help the West for the sake of helping the West to boost, for example, the Saudi position in the region. It's not going to do that. The extent of Iranian help depends on how much the West is able and capable of delivering for Iran. Like any other country.
Okay,
Iran,
but, you know, there is an opinion that Iran will be pushing the nuclear agenda, you know, its program, and will be asking the West to lift the sanctions and to let it develop its program. You know, that's one view, of course. But the West, on the other hand, wants to separate the nuclear program and the situation with Islamic State. Do you think that will be possible?
Yes, I think Iran has always also has mentioned that, you know, these are two different issues. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what different parties say. All these issues are interrelated. Mm-hmm. It's possible to separate one for the sake of, you know, coming up with specific agreement on certain set of issues. But in the long run, these issues cannot remain separated from each other. They're all interrelated. One success will depend on the success in another front.
Agree or disagree?
And let's turn to Victor now. Victor, to what extent do you agree with what Nader just said? And to what extent do you think that Iran will be using the situation to its own advantage, trying to promote its nuclear agenda?
I think that Iran will try to use it in the coup. They understand it as a possibility just to loosen this pressure of sanctions. That is really an idea and a very popular one in pro-West circles in Iran. That is first. Secondly, what is very important, that if they need to get something from Iran, just it is a way of thinking of a normal trader, well, if you want to receive something, then you must give something. Of course, that looks primitive, but this is a really a case. But besides, it is very important to keep in mind a very strong thing. Well, just to take into consideration their way of thinking, their way of understanding the surrounding world. There are things that are principal for Iran. For example, they can't give opportunity for the United States to strengthen their positions here. If they understand it this way, that the United States work only for strengthening of their own positions, fighting with the so-called Islamic State, then of course Iran will be then acting as ideologically oriented state. Well, just to compare with American way of thinking, with American approach, it differs very much. Iranian approach really differs. And it's always necessary to understand that it's not simply a market trade. No, they have this understanding of the world. And their approach, if you want to understand it properly and to understand their further moves, it's necessary to take into consideration this understanding of the world.
We have to keep in mind the fact that one of the major stumbling blocks in relations between Iran and the West is Iran's nuclear program. Iran insists that it's purely for peaceful purposes and defends its right to carry on with it, while the West has its own concerns. Nader, what do you think? Should Iran have the right to have this program, or should there be some restrictions?
Well, I mean, as a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, as a signatory to that, the treaty, obviously, it has that right. Every member has that right within the confines of the treaty. Obviously, the treaty, like any treaty, grants certain rights and then certain responsibilities. And Iran has always maintained that it is within, when it says it has the right, it doesn't mean that it has no responsibilities. It simply says that it has every right and every responsibility as a member of a non-proliferation treaty. What the West has said in recent years and has done is that, through its action, is that Iran has certain responsibilities, but its rights are not necessarily what is said in the treaty. It has to be determined by other countries. And that's where the problem lies. And it has become highly politicized. It's no longer a technical issue. It's a political issue. And when it becomes politicized, then resolution becomes much more difficult than it were a technical issue. The technical issues can be handled by experts, technical experts from International Atomic Energy Agency or other agencies that deal with nuclear proliferation. But once it becomes a technical issue, that deals with things like intentions of states and so forth. IAEA doesn't have any capability to determine intentions. It only has the capability to determine what has taken place on the ground.
Victor, very briefly, if you could, what is your take on the Iranian nuclear program? Should it be given a go-ahead?
As for Iranian nuclear problem, when Iran says that it does not develop military part of his nuclear program, we can't believe Iran in this. You see, because it is really forbidden for Iranians to develop the nuclear program according to the fatwa of the senior Iranian rulers. That is very important. In the West, of course, they can't understand this, because law is law, but you can do anything with this law if you can. But for Iranians, fatwa and this moral decision is a very strong thing. Sometimes the West can't understand this. It's impossible for them to understand this Iranian approach. But it really plays, and it is really very important for Iranians. We must keep it in mind as well. So Iran, when just saying that it does not develop military program, Iran really does not develop it.
We'll certainly see how the situation develops later in the week as the talks go on, and there are talks happening on the sidelines of the meeting. So we will be looking forward to finding out what happens behind closed doors later in the week. For now, though, I'd like to thank both of you for being part of this program. And my guests today were Victor Nadine-Rayevsky, who is a senior research fellow at the Institute of World Economy and International Relations, and Dr. Nader Intisar, who's professor and chair of the Department of Political Science and Criminal Justice at the University of South Alabama. Thank you very much for being in the program. Well, at this point, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can drop me a line at my address, which is radio.agreedisagree@gmail.com, to let me know what you think of the show and, of course, share some of the suggestions as to what you'd like to hear in the future programs. One more time, my address is radio.agreedisagree@gmail.com. And also, you can go to Radio VR's website, which is en.ria.ru, to check out the previous editions of Agree or Disagree, as well as to look at other programs that my colleagues have prepared for you there. That's en.ria.ru. Thank you very much for being with us.